Welcome back. This is Judaism from Within, and I'm Simi Lerner. We're continuing our journey through the perspective of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch through his work Chorev. The goal of this podcast is to articulate this individual's worldview. Begin this week with an opening to a very unique commandment, and once again in the realm of the chukim, the mitzvahs that often seem to be disconnected from our experience, and they gain their force by being committed to authority. Rav Hirsch breaks open not to deny that bedrock of authority, but to elaborate it, to be able to make it sit, to make it be integrated into our psyche and our personality. This week, we're discussing the commandment not to slaughter an animal and its mother on the same day. Now, this is an interesting one, because it doesn't seem to have much relevance to our lives today. We don't really engage with the slaughtering of animals at all. But this commandment really does give us a very deep perspective on the nature of eating, our relationship to the animal kingdom, and how we can grow in our relationship to the animal kingdom. Now, the first thing to mention is that this commandment isn't about empathy towards the animal. Rav Hirsch points this out quite clearly, and his basis for this is law. And the reason why I'm opening with this is because it allows us to enter into a symbolic relationship with the commandment, to appreciate the ideas that are coming out of it, rather than the immediate reaction is that they're cruel about slaughtering an animal and its mother in proximity to each other. There seems to be something very wrong about that, and there clearly is, and there might be aspects of other commandments that would be broken if this was done, to cause pain and suffering to animals unnecessarily. And that will be discussed in the coming weeks when we discuss the idea of Tzar Balei Chaim, which also falls under the category of a chayk. But this week, the commandment not to slaughter the mother and the child on the same day is only in the realm of shechita, ritual slaughter, where it could be eaten, or, more precisely for our interest, be brought up in the temple. Now, to lay the landscape of our discussion, what Rav Hirsch does is talk about the context of the commandment. The context of the commandment becomes extremely relevant, especially in commandments that we feel are perhaps a little bit disconnected from our experience. The context of the commandment, then once we break open the context of the commandment, he then explains a positive expression that is given over by not the not killing, but on the focus. By not killing, Rav Hirsch sees a positive move to the focus of the love from a mother to a child. So, how does he break this open? The commandment not to slaughter the mother and the child on the same day is in the context of kodshim, and the Talmud draws a connection between those two concepts. Kodshim, as in the sacrifices that were brought up in the temple, as well as your table that you eat on. And Rav Hirsch explains that when it comes to the idea of sacrifices, obviously, this is a larger topic, but just for our purposes, the idea of a sacrifice is the wrong terminology that you should be using in relating to a commandment, such as this. We call it a korban. Why do we call it korban? Because the word itself, it breaks open once again what we mean by the act, lekarov, to draw close. That is the purpose of sacrifices in Jewish law and in Jewish thought. Even though we use the word sacrifice, it doesn't do justice to the word. Korov means to draw close. Yes, there is a giving something of myself, so you do get the aspect of the sacrifice there, but the goal isn't the death of the animal, the goal is the psychological and emotional connection I make with the object, and I lift it up to God, thereby expressing my desire to get closer to God the same way something I own, something that belongs to me, it gives expression of part of me, goes up towards the Almighty. I too want to draw close to God. This becomes a very moral move in the context of Judaism, talking about my desire to grow closer to God in different aspects of my life. Thereby you get different expressions of different types of korbanos. But putting that to one side, there is a negative criteria. Animals can't have a mum. This may seem disconnected, but bear with me. Animals cannot have a mum, which is a blemish. Why? Rav Hirsch explains that a blemish would imply that there is something lacking in my commitment to God. Now, to explain that, when I commit myself to God, it should be complete, full-hearted. I don't look at my relationship with God as being bifurcated, as in aspects of my secular life and aspects of my religious life. My intention when I approach the Almighty should be to give of myself completely. Now, obviously, in practice, this can't be possible. We completely dedicate ourselves to God. We fail right back. These are part of the human experience. But in the realm of dedication and desire to grow close, you don't bifurcate your perspective. You don't have one side of you. Take it on the level of a regular relationship. You committed to your wife. You don't say to her, well, this is lovely. We're having this relationship, but there's an aspect of me that I want to keep out of our relationship. You've already made the relationship slightly toxic. Now, obviously, within a marriage, there's going to be ups and downs, but on the level of dedication, it should be complete. Unlike, for example, perhaps an idolatrous practice, where a person would dedicate himself to an idol for the specific purpose of getting something, and then dedicate himself to another idol with the goals of getting something from that idol. That split would exist in the realm of idolatry. When it comes to the Torah and a korban, it should be wholehearted. So that's the negative expression of a korban, what must not be there. Rav Hirsch explains that when it comes to this commandment, you have the positive expression of a korban. You have to give focus and expression to that you are allowing, and it's key how I'm going to phrase it, that you the korban you're bringing up, proximity of its relationship with its mother, or the relationship with its child. You should not sever that relationship, but that relationship should positively exist when I'm bringing a korban, or when I'm eating food at my table. Meaning, when I eat food at my table, which is expression of, we call it a shulchan for a reason, because it is the mode in which moral transcendence can take place, and also the negative of that. But a table where you sit around together, you join as a family, that is the place that people often reflect to as being some of the most transformative experiences in their religious lives. For people who are coming towards Judaism, but also people within Judaism. There is something very holy and sacred about the table. And that, when you eat meat, or when you're drawing a korban to God, the positive focus on the relationship between a mother and their child needs to be validated. And Rav Hirsch explains that perhaps the reason for this positive move, the positive focus on the relationship of the child in the animal kingdom, is because in general, when it comes to look at animals as being, using borrowed terminology, obviously, egotistical. They care about survival, they care about themselves, their instincts. But there is one time where the most purest, most godly expression we see present in an animal, where we see a parallel to our own experience of love and connection, which Rav Hirsch refers to as being the most godly of traits, the mother's relationship to a child. The mother's relationship to a child, even in the animal kingdom, gives rise to this expression of this godly trait. And this godly trait of love must be present abstractly, meaning I have to know that while I am eating this, what I am consuming to my being, where I'm lifting up to God in a sacrificial korban, I recognize that that love was validated, that love was present in that korban. And Rav Hirsch points out, if we circle back to the beginning, it's not about the animal per se, because you're allowed to kill an animal if you had to kill an animal. You could do the mother and the child on the same day, but it is specific shechita. Shechita that is done for me to eat God. I shouldn't negate that expression. I should know that that expression is present because it is so key and fundamental to my relationship with my family, my friends, my community, but more importantly, it is so fundamental to my relationship with God. Thereby, not to kill the mother and the child on the same day when it comes to the animal kingdom. It's almost like the most potent contrast to what we mean by an animal. We use the word animal instinct, acting like an animal, but there is one area where this takes a break, and that is the relationship between a mother and a child in the animal kingdom. We see a parallel to the human expression of love, and that should not be negated. That should be embraced. That should be celebrated. That should be recognized when we eat our food. That should be recognized when we draw close to God. So, the commandment from Chorev of this week is the idea of a positive presence, a positive expression is given to the idea of love, the idea of love even in the animal kingdom. So to recap the point, first stage was a recognition this is purely shechita, not about the animal. Sometimes it might be, but not now. This is about the symbolic recognition, not the negative criteria of not having a mum, but the positive move to recognize the love that is present there, and to recognize that it is part of my relationship with God and part of a relationship with my table and the family that sit at it. Thank you, as always, for your time, and have a wonderful week.